Welcome back to Down Your Brass Stats. Are you still there, sir?
Yes, Peter, I am.
Good, good.
Yeah.
What say?
Before I move on, I want to drop a bombshell for you.
All right, go right ahead.
And that bombshell is that in the next election, Chris Sinclair will run in St. Michael's Northwest on a BLP ticket. That's the bombshell I got for you.
That got happened.
So
I will put good money. I will put good money on that one. That got happened.
All right, but anyway, let me move on.
If Chris do that and he ain't discuss it with me first, I would be very disappointed.
Yeah, but you know you like a lot of sport. You know you like a lot of sports, so he might not take you serious.
Yeah.
But listen, Peter. Let me move on. Some time ago, right? I said that the government should prepare people, young people that is, to go and work on cruise ships. But first of all, they got to get some certification for them. And a certain moderator truck of water on my suggestions. But you know what happened? Last week, Wednesday, on CBC, I spoke about it again. And the minister had his high power team there. And they all agree with me. And the minister said that, in fact, the shipping companies have started to approach Barbados to get crews, to get people to work on ships in all areas, from managerial right down. You know, and so they endorsed what I was saying. So since that day now, I come back to tell the moderator that true cold water on my thing, my suggestion, what was said. And the man get me cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it was off the air, he started alarming and all kind of thing. And I just want to see that you don't always have to agree with people, or you don't always have to like a person's tone of voice, but at least you should be engaging. And that's where you got to put all the rest of them, Peter. That sometimes you want people like you and Stricker's Tenetry, for example, always at it. But you engage Stricker's Tenetry. And the truth is, I like to hear when you and Stricker's Tenetry going neck to neck.
He don't call me no more, so.
I know, but
you know what happened.
To hear your Stricker's Tenetry provide a certain level of entertainment. You know? Yeah. So the point
I'm happy to hear that I entertain you.
Huh?
I'm happy to hear that I can entertain you. But yeah,
your Stricker's Tenetry is really give me set a laugh at. But the point I really trying to make, Peter, is simply this, and then it can be gone. Is that because you may not like a person's tone of voice, or you may not like what the person is saying, that don't give you the right to be cruel to the person and then cut the person off, and then you start alarming off. That's not good. That's why I say that you and Dave Ellis, for me, the two best moderators, because you would be engaging and then you would tell the person, all right, better get let you have the last word. And then the person has the last word, you go on another caller. Not you talking a lot of fool stories and not coming from your way to face the public. Anyway, Peter Mann, you have a
good day. Good to hear you. Good to hear you, and thanks for calling again. I have a WhatsApp message which came in from someone who, of course, is one of the people who communicates with me on matters of education. She's saying, Peter, I'm unable to call due to work commitment, so I'm really concerned about the fact that it's business as usual for the Caribbean Examinations Council. How can any reasonable person expect children to be able to write exams when there are still so many who are without electronic devices, internet connectivity, etc.? And of course, this includes teachers. Surely better has to be done regarding the children of Barbados, not to mention the region. This is ridiculous, to say the least. My thoughts on the situation are consistent with yours, ma'am. I think it's scandalous. I was concerned when the last CXC issue was handled as badly as it was. I have been one of the few voices that has been critical of the chairman of the Caribbean Examinations Council, this Professor Sir Hilary Beckles, regarding the manner in which this whole issue is being approached. I thought the response to the last crisis was woefully inadequate. I think that it is essentially us dropping our guard and letting our own selves down, because CXC is our own institution that we control. And I think that we're doing a disservice to the people of the Caribbean, the young people of the Caribbean, in terms of how we're handling it. That was then. I am now appalled, quite frankly, to hear that CXC is going to walk face long into another crisis that they are going to foist on the children of this region, by forcing them to take exams. I think they're saying in June or July. In the way, as normal, as though nothing that happened over the last year happened. I find it crazy. I'm fully aware of the fact that the only way the Caribbean Examination Council makes money is from exams. So if they don't have any exams, there's no money to be made. But as far as I'm concerned, this is not an issue of them balancing the books or paying salaries and wages and whatnot. This is a question of our children's future. And I am appalled, quite frankly, and I'm anxious to hear what the various ministers of education know. It was clear that the CXC head said that this had the compliance, or the ministers of education were compliant in this decision. And I assume that they must have done their research and they believe that our students are not going to be affected in any way. But quite frankly, I can't see how. We're in situations where a lot of children have not had the face-to-face education that they needed. They have not had the face-to-face contact. They have not been able to prepare adequately for exams. They have not had the kinds of electronic devices. Some of them have not had internet in their house so they could log on and follow the classes. And in an environment like that, you're still going to subject people to exams as though it was business as usual. This is something that really does require a bit more conversation. And I'm anxious to hear what people think of it, because I quite frankly am appalled. I don't know if it's because I don't have any children that I'm appalled, but one would think that the number of people out there who do have children that will be subjected to this cruel and unusual punishment should be also appalled. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on Down to Brass Tacks. How are you doing, sir?
Yes, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir.
Right. I was listening to the Ministry of Health press conference I think it was yesterday or the day before. And I think it's an oversight not to disclose the hotspots where the coronavirus is. And they give it three reasons for that. One, it's not consistent with the Minister of Health slogan that we are in this together. Because if we're in something together, I will hide nothing or withhold vital information from you. Second thing, it is not lending itself to community involvement. What I say that is because if let's say X community is one of the areas where a hotspot is, and you say, okay, well, we have a high number of cases in X community, then the persons in this community would step up their game. They won't be, you know, they won't let down the guard. Well, the guys will stop laming or the blocks should, you know, because they know, well, there's danger in that community, and so they will step up their game. Third thing is that before that kind of information, kind of give lend fuel to stigmatization of the virus. Because, you know, that is in my opinion. Because, you know, like, this virus is international. From Europe right down to the jungle of South America, the virus is, so there's no need to hide, you know, hide this kind of information. So that is, right. I think that was a great oversight on the government part,
okay,
not to to withhold that kind of information.
Let me ask you a couple of questions, sir. Where exactly you want to know where the hotspots are so you can go and check them out?
No.
Why do you want, how will your life be enhanced if you know where these hotspots are?
Oh, my life? I have my own bubble, Mr.
Right. So the point.
I heard you.
You
understand my frame already.
Right. And I'm saying I hear you, but I'm not hearing any fundamental reason in this why you need to know where the hotspots are. You're dealing with people's private information, because a question as to whether someone is positive or not, up to now, government has not identified any person who is positive by name.
Mr. Wickham,
sir, can you listen to me now?
Clear to you.
Can you listen to me? Sir, please listen to me, because I listen to you, right?
Okay,
government has not identified any person who is COVID positive by name.
So
COVID positive people have identified themselves, but no, government has not identified any person. Similarly, government has not identified where anybody lives and said that there are COVID positive people living in there. And the reason for that is very important. Questions of person's illness, person's medical condition is private information, and it has nothing to do with the general public, right? So there's no question of saying you want to identify an area that has an outbreak and you want to stigmatize the people who are living in that area. As far as
I know,
we are in a situation where you're not supposed to be going by anybody's house that you don't know, right? If it is that you know these people, then you would be presumably aware of those conditions. And if you don't know them, then you won't be going there. So there's no likelihood that you should go there by accident. And there is every reasonable likelihood that you will stigmatize the people if you know. So the point I'm trying to make to you, sir, is that there's really no reason why you should know. There's no good reason why you need to know where those hotspots are.
Mr. Wickham, I made myself quite clear. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about communities. And
I heard you.
Allowing communities to
integrate
this together. Right?
Sir, I heard you. Okay, sir, I heard you. You're saying everything you said before, and I'm saying to you that I'm sorry, I do not agree. Because either at an individual level or on the level of the community, I am not understanding how your life as a community will be enhanced if you know where hotspots is.
But what I'm saying,
if I live in Cave Hill and I have a hotspot across the road from me, right? Unless I'm going at the person for a particular reason, and the reality is that I am not supposed to be going at anybody I don't know for any reason. I don't really need to know. They will have the hot spot there, and I will have the hot spot in my, the cool spot in my house, and we will both live happily.
Right, but what I'm saying
in nobody's business.
What I'm saying is that information will allow people to step out the game. They won't let down the guard, so to say. All right, Mr. McKinney, the second point thing I want to bring to the table is that over, I think it was last week or so, there was released by the British government that there were 6 cases of the Brazilian variant, 3 in Britain and the other 3 in Scotland, if I remember correct. So So we need to be more protective too, because that strain of variant is getting more closer to home since our borders and our interaction with people from Britain is still open. Second thing is that some of those persons who were diagnosed with the Brazilian variant has spent 10 days in British quarantine as in line with their protocols. And yet, you know, it was discovered probably after the quarantine that they were positive with the variant. So this is a time that we need to get, you know, more serious in terms of our borders and, you know, keeping those so as to keep that variant out.
Okay.
Yes, sir. That's it.
All right, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate hearing from you. Somebody's telling me that maybe the parents of students who are taking CXE examinations should boycott the examinations. And as a result, it will send a message to the Caribbean Examinations Council. I really feel this is an issue that needs further discussion, because I'm trying to understand what goes through the mind of a parent at this point in time that believes that having been through the year that they have been through, that their children have the best chance. This is the view that I hold regarding the idea of stage 9/11 plus when it is due. And I think it is no different when you're talking about an exam at the level of CXE. I mean, how in all good conscience can you feel that after this year, your children could be ready to do any exam and you are willing to agree to write an exam and have your child sit down and be violated in this way? I don't get it. I really don't get it. And I don't understand that it has not generated the level of regional outrage that it should. You know, I'm beginning to wonder whether I'm living on an island by myself and no one seems to understand, other than Maria, who has raised a similar matter this morning. There needs to be further discussion on this. Are our region's children ready to sit serious exams in these environments? Why is it that the United Kingdom has talked about either postponing or canceling exams together this year, altogether? Because they don't believe their children are ready. But we are going to subject our children to exams because we believe they're ready? I don't get it. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Hi, good afternoon, ma'am. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
I know that you are a political scientist, right? And a very good one at that. I must give that.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you.
But before we get there, let me take this opportunity to wish Ellis, David Ellis, pleasant retirement. I know he's not going to sit in an armchair. I know he will be up and about and giving his expertise to the necessary places that he will want to go. And I wish him all the best. I know him personally, and I know you personally, even though I would not identify myself. So, you want me to identify myself?
It's okay, ma'am. It's not a thing. I mean, I'm sure David is listening and he appreciates hearing that you wish him well.
Anyhow, I'm not going to let anyone say, but I'm your mother's girl. Good.
Okay. All right.
Anyhow, I know you're a very good political scientist. And I want you to tell me, because I don't want to be the judge, can you kindly tell me what...
Were you going to put me... Were you going to put me in trouble, though?
No, I just want to know, because it seems as though I am missing something, and I obviously can't miss things from time to time, but I am not so deeply considering you, so I want to know.
The music saved me, because the reality of the situation is, the guy said he ain't said nothing, that he's saying that he said a lot. And I agree, you can say a lot and still not say nothing. So it's possible both ways. You want to come back after the news, ma'am? All right, you're good. Good to hear from you, and thanks for your best wishes on the behalf of David Ellis. I'm sure he's listening. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We continue in about 10 minutes. We take a break now for the latest. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. 434-1790 is the number you can call. We're with you until 2 p.m. I do hope that I can hear from as many of you as possible. A lot of calls, a lot of emails, a lot of messaging regarding the CXC situation. And we just heard an update in the news. Paula Ann Moore has been the person in the forefront of the battle on behalf of students who have been disadvantaged by the Caribbean Examination Council. All I can say to you, Paula Ann, is that I hope that you can band your belly or gird your loins, because you have a big battle ahead of you. I do find it is unfortunate and it's sad that in a country that has been through so much, that has fought so many battles and has won them, a country that is independent, that is in full control of all of its facilities, has to be carrying on these kinds of battles with a regional organization that it owns, while it is attempting to tell other people that they are being unfair to it over the years through colonialism, through slavery and other things. So we have control of our own facilities now. We have our own examination bodies. We can control our destiny. But yet still in the United Kingdom, they are talking about canceling, postponing examinations because they don't think that their children are ready. But yet still in the Caribbean, we are willing to subject ourselves to this nonsense. And I'm sorry, Paula, you're going to have to press on. And I do hope that you will be supported by some of the people that we see here messaging online and saying that they're standing with you in this regard. All I can say is that unified action is what will have to happen in order to make this thing work. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I fare the fine.
Good, good.
Good to hear you do anyhow. Heard any program, a gentleman calling about this show, what type of show on CBC.
It was you that called it?
No, not me. I am.
Or somebody.
No, somebody spoke to you this morning about that.
Right. Is he walking like up it? Thing? Yeah, yeah.
You're walking up.
You like it?
Oh, you wait a minute. Take it easy, Starboy. Then somebody emailed you or WhatsApp, whatever it is, saying that there's weak culture, mm-hmm. and that's why the TV got a button that could switch off.
Yeah.
Which I totally agree with the switching off. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with the man saying what he said about it.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Now, all of a sudden, I hear that waking up is weak culture. I saw this on TV, I think, on two occasions, right? The first one, I watched it, was pretty okay and whatever and thing. But the one I saw the other night, we talking about waking up as a culture. What I saw the other night was what I call vulgarity at its highest.
Mm-hmm.
And we must stop the stupidness that we are doing. Waking up is a culture. That's what we are saying to people. But while we are waking up, people from another group came to Barbados and has a culture. And you know what our culture is, Mr. Wickham? That
mm-hmm.
culture is making a pathway for the children by entrepreneurship. That becomes their culture. But we have adopted a culture which has carried us up to this point. I don't know what happened years from now. Absolutely nowhere. There's a difference between waking up and vulgarity.
What's the difference?
What I see the other night was the difference. And I saw it on two occasions. I saw one the first night, waking up. And the second night, mm-hmm. I saw a lot of vulgarity on the TV screen.
How can you tell the difference between the two? Can you explain to me what is waking up and what is vulgarity?
Okay. If you want me to try, I can try for you. I'm 67 years old now. And it's mm-hmm. I see even before we had crop over, you will see very few women. We're called gyrating, you know, on the street and that dancing and things, that type of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easy on the eyes. Mm-hmm. But when we are seeing people bending over, trying to expose the parts on the streets of Barbados, that's what I call vulgarity. Mm-hmm. That is what I term vulgarity. And you know the surprising thing about it? Is that we get to be in a particular climate nowadays that when we see the majority of things happen, women are at the forefront. And it seems that you can say nothing about these things. You remember the incident with the little boy and this woman in the street? You remember that incident?
She was pushing the little boy to walk up on somebody.
Right. And you know the child care board or nobody, she wasn't arrested or sanctioned or nothing about it. And this is the double, we talk about the double standards in the medical fraternity, the double standards in government, the double, it's all sorts of things. But we ain't talking about the double standards in these things.
Sir, I'm having some challenges with you, and one of them is that I don't understand how we can be considering or comparing a mother putting a child to walk up with an adult in full knowledge deciding that that's how they want to dance and behave, right? I accept that it's not your thing, and I think that for you, it's probably best that you not watch it. Because you are of advanced age,
Peter, and you make yourself
a heart attack.
Peter, you are forgetting what he said to you. Are you always going down with this trying to impress or imply something that I'm not saying? I said I watched the show on two occasions. One was very, very good. That had waking up.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, that had a lot of vulgarity.
Right, so but you haven't been able to explain to me what's the difference between one and the other.
The reason that you're having
challenges demonstrating, describing the difference between one and the other is that it depends on where you sit, that you may see walking up as vulgarity. So there are some people
who are wrong.
But how you can say that? I disagree with you?
No, you're wrong because you are taking what I'm saying out of total context.
I'm not taking it out of context. I'm saying to you, sir, I listen to you and I would ask that you listen to me. Look, I'm saying, sir, that this is my situation, right? Depending on where you sit in terms of dancing, you may find dancing vulgar or you may find dancing creative. You may find it offensive or you may not be offended by it, okay? There are some people who are into that type of thing and they find it creative and they like to see it. There are other people who it doesn't work for them. My thing is that once adults are involved, children are not involved, I really don't see the problem. And I'm saying to you that it is very, very difficult to give a description and say, this is vulgarity, this is not vulgarity. I remember when they had the walk-up police, I don't know if you remember years ago, there was talk about the walk-up police. Now, how can a person go and say, I'm a walk-up police, this is vulgar, this is not vulgar? It's a question of personal taste.
No,
and I accept, sir, that your personal taste is offended. I think that your personal taste has a right to be offended. If it is not something that you want to see and you find it offensive, you should not watch it.
All you are telling me right now is that once children are not involved in it, it's not vulgar. That is what you're saying.
No. Once children are not involved in it, it's not a problem for me. Because if it is something which is vulgar and I find it offensive, sir, it's hard to have a conversation with you, you know.
No,
sir, vulgarity is relative. Vulgarity is relative.
Listen,
relative.
You are speaking about me as the individual.
And I'm saying to you, sir, that you have a right to be offended if you find something vulgar. That is for you. The point is that I cannot decide for you what is vulgar and what is not vulgar, and you cannot decide that for me. And I'm saying that if you are going to get away from a situation where I'm standing an arbiter in terms of vulgarity over you, then the best thing to do is to say, we have our individual right to determine what is vulgar and what is not vulgar. And if we find it vulgar, just don't watch it.
Let me ask you a question. You as a gentleman that you tell me that you was going to crop over and whatever and thing, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yes. Have you ever seen any vulgarity at crop over?
Sir, lots of things. Lots of vulgarity.
Okay, but that answers my
question. Lots of vulgarity.
So you could carry me from here to the garrison and back. I still maintain that some is Rubicon walking up, which is Rubicon culture, and there's a form that is vulgar. That's what I'm saying. Can you blame me for saying that?
Sir,
you just agree with
Hold on a second. And I'm not blaming you. I'm saying that you have the right to hold those views. I'm just saying that the problem is where you decide that based on that, somebody the show should not be on television, and I'm saying you can't make that statement.
I tell you that. I didn't tell that, Peter. I said you watch both of them. And it said the emailer was right, called the fella got a button that you could press it off if he won't watch it.
Okay, fair enough.
I tell you watch all two.
So you don't have a problem with it?
I am saying to you, and this is what we really call about now, pretending to that, you know. Mm-hmm. What I would like to see happen is that we get some of this program based off of another part of our culture. Because this program we're seeing is based, or the audience is primarily young people. Yeah. So let me see a Richard Stout and a
You get all of that, but nobody watching that.